sense. Every time I see the police, every time I see the police, I gotta be ducking and hiding.
See, I'm a wanted man, baby, living in these streets. Sans child support, soft as to put a warrant out on me. See, I owe 6,500 and they want their money. And it's so funny, cause they know I ain't got that kind of dough. Like it's my fault that she got on welfare. I told her we can go half on a sample like half a daycare. But no, she got comfortable at the bottom and wanted to stay there. And I don't know how this gonna turn out. Y'all keep me in prayer.
Oh, it's crazy, crazy, crazy.
See, when I start back working, they gon' take all my dough.
Peace and blessings to all of our listeners and former listeners. This is Rich Queen here, live tonight, with my co-host, Lissa Renee. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, just fine. Thank you guys and goddesses for joining us tonight. First, I want to explain the absence and an abrupt departure from you guys. We are so sorry that we took so long, but we had to get some shit together. You know, we had things going on. We had changes. I, myself, in my home, you know, we had to get our finances straight. Baby got her job. I got mine. I now work from home. Thank you, thank you. that was something that I manifested not too long after we had got here. Traffic, you know, it's a bigger city. Baby worked about 30 minutes away already. I didn't want the same commute myself. And, you know, we got kids. So that was my best choice right there. I had a friend put me on, and I am so grateful. What about you, Lissa?
Well, first off, I just want to say, you know, it's a blessing to be going live today. I feel like I'm in the best of spirits, and I'm ready to talk that shit because the people need to hear. But, you know, first, I just want to thank everybody, you know, for welcoming us back. You know, like you said, it's been a while. It's been like five damn months. And, you know, I just also want to thank those that took the time to spread the word about Vibrate Higher. I definitely love the support. And, you know, life happens, you know, death, work, same shit, but you have to, you know, learn to keep moving. So I've been moving real fast paced here lately. One thing that I'm proud about that I've been doing now, I've been understudying to be a mortician. So I feel like that's my highlight right now. being around, you know, death so much, I've, you know, and just becoming a licensed insurancer, I want to be able, you know, to be at the proper age, and I also want to be able to provide those services after. I don't want to just say, here's this insurance policy. I want to be able to take care of you after death. So, I'm doing that. But, you know, I feel like, I know we're catching up here, but tonight is it's a topic that it's rather touchy. But I feel like if we don't talk about it, then who will? So I'm ready to get you jumping on the episode tonight.
Okay, so we back on schedule, and we got time tonight. So the topic for tonight is bitterness. Y'all know what bitterness I'm talking about. Okay, how many times I got to say it? We've done a show on it before. There's another one, and that goes both ways. That's absent parents, whether it's the mom or the dad or whatever. Okay, that's carrying. It's just ugly. It's there's nothing more sickening than knowing, you know what I'm saying, that absent parent is capable, full well and capable, but they just don't. Okay, we all know somebody. We all you know see it every day. You know what I mean? But it, to me, it's real touchy. You know what I mean? Because I played the bad parent before. You know, I had some mishaps. I ain't been the best mother. You know, I've had some run-ins with decision making that wasn't the best for my children. But with change comes everything, and when you're not doing, not gonna go right for you. And I had to go through that myself. I've been to prison. I done had CPS in my life. You know what I'm saying? I had plenty of obstacles to overcome. And I felt like, I know for a fact that's just, you know, what come with it, consequences. And there's a certain balance that we need to have as parents. You know, ain't no way your children don't live with you and you can't give them $20 when they ask you. You know what I'm saying? Or the mom or whoever, the dad, whoever's asking, that asking parent, hey, look, I'm behind on this, that. I need this. I need some help. And the response is, you don't need help. You shouldn't have did this. You shouldn't have did that. You got it. Do you know how retarded, not retarded, but sad that sounds?
Retarded. Yeah.
I don't want to offend anyone, but you have to be mentally slow or something to not comprehend the everyday essentials of raising a kid. You have to be raised, so you know. It takes money for lights, rent, car note, insurance. Sometimes you got to pay out of pocket. It don't matter if you got motherfucking welfare, Medicaid, whatever. Sometimes you got to pay out of pocket at them visits. You know what I mean? And I feel like those parents, those absent parents, they deserve everything that they're going through. Because, I mean, I don't know no well-off parent that's, you know what I'm saying, that's actually doing well for themselves and not doing for their kids, their seeds. I truly believe these children are the future. You know what I'm saying? And if we don't have a balance and we can't, and they can't see us cooperate, you know what I mean? Love, not even just, you know, got to be no lovey-dovey, but it has to be a certain type of communication through body language, verbally. You know what I'm saying? You can't be putting that other parent down and in front of your child, you know what I'm saying? You know, or whatever the case may be, and expect anything to come good of it. I do believe in right and wrong and a higher power that, you know what I'm saying, where there is not balance, it's going to be some balance somewhere. So the wrong you're doing, the wrong is going to come back. And the more right you do by your kids, man, I'm telling you, your life flourishes. You have to love them. But I don't feel like, you know what I'm saying, it's just dads out there. You know what I'm saying? It's some moms out here that play a dirty game. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, just go and put a nigga on child support for the fuck of it. You know what I mean?
Most definitely. And before you get to that part, because most definitely want to touch on that, I want to go back up to just the topic itself, because, yes, we're speaking on bitterness, and that's why, you know, it's labeled, is it the father, the mother, or the system? And so the root discussion, you know, is child support and welfare, but I chose the title because in bitterness, the men say it's the women say it's the father, but the statistics, they show that both male and female are to blame, as well as both sexes have received or are receiving welfare assistance. So before we dig that deep, I wanted to just hear, what were your thoughts on child support and welfare? Like, when you hear child support and welfare, like, what comes to your mind?
I don't want to hear it, honestly. Like, I don't want nothing to do with either or. I don't want to hear it, period. Like, I don't want no wealth. I don't want these people in my motherfucking business. You know what I'm saying? I don't want none of that. None of it. How I feel about it is, because I've been on child support and I have been on welfare. You know what I'm saying? And it's just all fucked up. I feel like it's, you know, I know that it's an agenda, propaganda put in place to you know, fuck these communities up. We're supposed to be a village, regardless if we're together or not, if we're married or not. You know what I'm saying? And if I can't co-parent, if I could co-parent, I wouldn't be on, you know, any welfare or, you know what I'm saying, or a lot of women wouldn't be on welfare if it was that balanced. You know what I'm saying? Is I wouldn't put, you know, a nigga on child support if they was doing what they were supposed to be doing, and I wouldn't need welfare. You know what I'm saying? If a nigga was supposed to be doing what they was doing, basically.
No, and I totally agree. And so going back to where it all started, studies show that, you know, there were laws regarding child support as early as 1601. So the history appears at first to have been similar to, yes, to, you know, what it was back then is similar to what we consider child support, because back then the communities, they rescued, you know, destitute people, including what they would call lone mothers and children, often by putting them to work and then attempting to recoup the cost from, you know, relatives such as fathers. But the money was limited to amounts needed to avoid, you know, the destitution, and it was claimed by the community, not by individuals such as what they call a lone mother or personal helpers of that mother. And so the National Assistance Act in 1948, it saw the state implicitly taking on some of the responsibilities that would have once been between the local communities and relatives, and basically said, we want that money back, because child support, they started approaching, you know, what they would considered to be in addition to the welfare state. And so the first federal legislation on private child support was enacted in 1950. And so the child support, you know, it started off as a federal state partnership with the goal of reducing the expenditures of aid to families with dependent children. It was called the AFDC program. And so by 1975, it was officially launched, you know, being child support by President Gerald Ford. And in that same year, there was a rapid increase in divorces. And you ask yourself, why all the divorces? Because all it took was a divorce for a father to be court-ordered to pay child support. And shit, in this time, it wasn't going, you know, back into the community. It was going directly to the mother. And even then, even now, when you do get child support, they still want a piece of that back. And it shows, and you know, I had to research it, and it shows that from 1935 to 1966, child support has been, you know, the primary vehicle, like the primary breadwinner for the economic support to families with children. So, like you said, I don't want to hear it. When I hear child support and welfare, the only thing that comes to mind is the games people play. And it's just like, damn, like, we know it's a system, and I feel like at the end of the day, for shit to be in motion for many years, I can't help but think there's been a long line of motherfuckers that just didn't, they wanted to fuck but not provide for their creations. And so you ask yourself, like you said, we know the propaganda, but at the end of the day, why do people fall for it? Like, if we know this is a system, like, why do you think people fall for it?
It ain't even people. Okay, we speaking on generations, right? So I'm going to say back, I'm going to say when the grandmas, I'm not sure, say the 60s, you know what I'm saying, 60s, 70s. I know my mom was born in the 70s, and I remember us getting welfare. So I know it didn't start with us. It going that far back and us still, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, people still, we have to find a way to not need that, not even want, I don't want it, not even have anything to do with the government's, you know, I'm going to say charity. But it goes back to the point that they wanted to make. They wanted to take the black man out the house to get to the mother. Okay, that was supposed to be protection.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? you know, you can't have no man in your house. You can't put that nigga on that motherfucking application for no benefits. Why is that? You know, because he's supposed to be there. If he's going to be there, he's supposed to be able to provide. And it's something that we have to start thinking about as far as deeper than, oh, shit, we got free food. You know what I'm saying? Because that's basically what food stamps is. It ain't free. That's what you think it is, but that's really not what it is. Getting housing. That's the hood. You need housing, that's hood. You know what I'm saying? So the white man is really invisibly your man. Okay, you got, you need anything. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of benefits out here these people have that, you know, some people are really attached to, really can't live without them. You know what I'm saying? And I see a lot of people like, I need this, I need that. Let's stop. I don't know. But me personally, I don't want to need these motherfuckers. So it's for me, it's all about, I've been, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say that, and this is on the whole child support thing. I've been the one to drop the back child support. You know what? You spoke to me about this when we was talking on the phone. And I've done that before. You know what I'm saying? A couple of times. Do you think that changed anything?
Oh, I know I don't.
Literally.
Don't say it's not a fucking
that.
Thing.
So it's like
makes shit worse, to be honest.
Yeah, it do. It do. Because when they expect that every time they get them letters to come appearing before they finna take their ass to jail, and then they want you to come drop that shit. No.
Exactly.
But some women will give the dude, you know what I'm saying, the nigga, try to help the nigga. Like, because me helping you is helping, you know, it's helping her, helping them. But some women are giving it to, he can tell, a nigga can tell a woman, they baby mama ain't got no ride. They either going to take the baby to them or find some way to get that baby to their daddy. But when, you know, I feel like, when we go the extremes of, you know, just trying to get that help from them, it's like pulling teeth. I feel like that's just enabling and not even just that baby mama. You know what I'm saying? We got family enabling these people, friends enabling these people. You know what I mean? Like, it just... It's a whole community thing. Like, let's grow out of this, like, this repetition of lifestyle. I don't want my children, you know, having to, you know, be split up from who they created a seed with and have shit all fucked up to where they have to appear in court. Like, I don't want my kids to have nothing to do with these people. And I'm talking about the government. Period. But it's like, you know, we have to be the ones to stop that shit.
And, you know, we did, you know, we spoke on it, and I like to feel like I don't have the baby daddy, baby mama issues. Now, don't get me wrong. The father of my children has done some stupid-ass shit. But at the end of the day, I feel like I chose to have my children, and whether the daddy there or not, you know, they always got their mother. And what you were saying earlier, it brought me back to men always getting to try and women having to do. They always say, respect the man that's trying. Why do I have to respect you when you're trying, when I have to do regardless? Like, I don't get the chance to try. I have to do that shit. Like, I have to do
it. Right.
It's an obligation for me, and it is for you too. But you just feel like you can shit. I don't know how they think, and so I don't want to put words in people's mouths. And so, saying any of that to, you know, excuse the behavior of my children's father or anyone else's absent baby father or mother, because like I said, at the end of the day, I chose to have them. But I feel like it's also at the ending, in beginning of the day. children need both parents no matter what. I don't give a fuck what no one says. Right. Having both parents in their life makes a difference. Now, I'm not saying you have to stay in a shitty relation or a situationship. You know, I allow these same thoughts to send me into deep thinking. So when we spoke on considering tonight's topic for the comeback episode, it rather ran me high because I never had to think about the effects of an absent parent, you know, for my children. But when I did, it was just like, it's really fucked up because, like you said, how can you not be in jail or dead? Live in the same city. Well, for me, we live in the same city, but you don't do nothing. Right. Like, you don't provide for your kids. Like, but I feel like, and I feel like, you know, there's no issues. We don't got the, oh, she just could have got another girlfriend. You married my brother's baby mama, so everybody's cool. There's no issue. You just chose not to provide. But I feel like children, you know, they see who and who's not there. So what do I get out of getting on Facebook or whatever social media platform and bashing, you know, bashing him? Like, kids see. But I wanted to see, like, I know you stated, you know, you've been in jail, you've paid child support, but what is your situation like with the father of your children? Is it, I feel like I know a little bit, but, you know, for people that don't really know us, like, what's it like for you?
It's really shitty at the moment. You know, we moved, shit. And I feel like, you know, the man is mad. Now, I can't say I feel for why he's mad. You know what I mean? Because, you know, what the fuck, we've been there. But I just, I don't know. I would love to have a actual co-parent, you know, that is a man for these boys. Believe me, we get the job done. But as far as us having a son, me and my girl, she has a son of her own. I have two of my own. And they need a figure, you know what I mean? Regardless of, you know, regardless of who else is around, they need them, their dads. You get what I'm saying? But, you know, it's all good. They know what it is. They're old enough, you know. They see, like you said, and I can't, they love them. I don't know. I just, hey, it is what it is. Like, continue to do what I've been doing. And it's only up from here for us. I don't know about that other shit.
Facts. And see, I'm glad you spoke on, you know, your spouse. And I started to call her by name, but I don't know if she, you know, is comfortable with me speaking her name live. But I wanted to see, not really getting into her business, that's why I really wanted her to join live, just to see, like, what is it like for her? Like, because I know that you both are, you know, you're raising kings now, but what is it like for her? Like, is there issues? Is there drama? Like, because I feel like kids, they wonder sometimes. Oh, no drama? Yeah.
Oh, no.
Is he there? Like,
nah, that
I just, you know,
no. Like, I mean, it's, hey, he's untrustworthy. This is what I'm going to say from my being, you know, the step parent here. He's untrustworthy. You can't play about my child coming home. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I mean? Like that. You can't go missing when it's time for me to come get my child. You can't stop answering that phone, especially living in a whole different, you know what I'm saying, area, 2 hours away, 3 hours away type shit. So, and, you know, he done some fucked up shit. And I don't even think the nigga capable, honestly. And I ain't even just trying to do him like that. But these niggas just ain't. We can't trust you. You can't trust them with them. Like, I don't know. That's just too stressful for me. Now, we invite them both to come to us. You know, we have no problem with them coming to us to see their children. They can even stay in our house. We will leave our house. You know what I'm saying? Go get us a room. Nigga, you ain't got no money but to make you here. Okay, cool. Stay here with your kids. And we will leave. But niggas can't make it. We too far, I guess. I don't know.
Never too far for your kid. And shout out to you and baby for making shit happen and getting it done regardless, because, again, at the end of the day, mama's baby, daddy's baby, because motherfucker may be there, may not be there. But I like to think you're never too far for your kid. And I was going to touch on that later because, you know, for a long time, I wasn't really fucked up about it, because the situation with my parents, you know, they were married, got divorced, daddy wanted to cheat, you know, like white women, ain't nothing wrong with it. So, you know, white girls are playing your butt, so that can kind of make it kind of nasty. But anyway, he had kidnapped us one day, and I had to experience this with my own kid. Like you said, you can't go missing when it's time to get my kid. But this time, this motherfucker didn't even have permission to get my kid. So he had kidnapped me and my two little sisters one day, and we were right down the street from my mama the whole time. But he got upset because, like, after 4 or 5 days, I was like, you know what I'm saying, when is my mama coming home? Can I go with my mama? And she ended up having to bring my people to the house, but you know what I'm saying, because we're going to get these kids and nobody's doing no talking.
Right.
Either the kids coming or you're going to be, you know what I'm saying? So he let us leave the house or whatever, and he looked me dead in my eyes, and he was just like, I'm scratching you off the list. I'm 9 years old. You know what I'm saying? I knew what he meant when he told me he was scratching me off the list. He told me I wasn't his favorite no more, which is cool, which is fine. You shouldn't play favoritism with your kids anyway. You got too many. And so that really stuck with me. And so growing up, it was kind of just like, I feel like maybe I was the reason, and I feel like a kid shouldn't have to feel like that. And also, I just want to say live so everybody know, can't go missing with my kids with you. Somebody's going to die. That's just me being honest. Oh. Like, I'm going to go through whatever for my kids. So it's nothing, there's no such thing as being too far. I seen a clip on Facebook the other day where a father was ordered to see his daughter one day on the weekend. So he got a job at her school. So now, like he said, I see her Monday through Friday in the weekend at 6 days. You can make shit happen. Motherfuckers just be making excuses.
Daddy, let me tell you what I did. Okay, and this is just off, you know. I was going through my little case, you know, with CPS. And, you know, these people, this is my mentality the whole time. These people are not going to tell me what the fuck, you know, I can't be around my motherfucking son. Like, what's this for that, mate? So, you're damn right. I'm parking my car wherever. I'm parking my car around the corner, and I'm walking, and I'm staying a night wherever they at on my side every time.
Every time.
There's no excuse.
Them people don't know that you're there.
Nobody.
That's just an excuse. Them people don't know. They're not sitting outside that house watching who come and go through there.
They is not. They are not. And anybody that let a CPS case, and I'm just going to say this, let them rip your children away from you and you not fight for them. You fucked up. You fucked up, for real. And whatever them people want you to do, you better do that shit. Period. Want your ass to do the motherfucking splits in a parking lot. That's what your ass better do.
Bitch, I was just about to say, if they want your ass to do the macadamia, you better do that shit. Whatever them folks tell you to do to see your kids, get your kids back, whatever, you need to be doing it. Now, I ain't telling you to go suck a white man dick, fellas. But
some
people tell you to do these visitation rites and to have access to your kids, do these visitation rites. Don't smoke whatever
that's
you smoke. Let me tell you now, they don't take your kids away from smoking weed, I know. So you what the fuck is not hard? And going back to what we said, even knowing that child support and welfare is one of a million ways to hold a motherfucker back, I still can't bring myself to understand why a motherfucker would fall for the trap. And if you grew up without a mother or a father, why would you not want to be a mother or a father to your own feet? I just don't get it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't get it either.
And that brought me to
sometimes
just looking. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? It takes a lot for a motherfucker to wake up. You know what I mean? It's so many signs. You know what I'm saying? Because you cannot tell me. You know, shit goes wrong. Shit goes wrong. You know what I mean? But it's constantly, you know what I'm saying? It's bad situation after bad situation. You're doing something wrong. And check with them kids first. 9 times out of 10, that's where it be at. We have to pay attention. It's more than just having your kids draped up and whatever. You know what I mean? You got to make sure they are right mentally first. Any of that shit. You know what I mean? And it's real important for me, you know what I'm saying, the mental part, because I grew up, you know what I mean, fucked up. Both parents fucked up. You know what I'm saying? I don't fault them. You know, I don't know what they were going through, what their trauma was. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I get it now. I get it, because I had to go through my own little shit, and I'm better, you know. And like I said before, we elevate. Nothing but up.
Facts. The only way is up. And I'm glad you said that, because we as beings, or just individuals, just growing up, I feel like we used to fault our parents, or we would say little slick shit just to make our parents feel less of what they were. But you have to apologize to yourself and to your parent, because, again, like you just stated, they were doing the best that they fucking could. Most of our parents were kids trying. We grew up together. You know what I'm saying? And then, hell, when your parents grew up in the 70s, we know what the 70s was. So one or two, if, you know, one, if not both of your parents was fucked up. I know what it's like to grow up in a household where your daddy pounding the TV, taking a fucking DVD play. And you know what I'm saying? I know what it's like to come wake up and something ain't there. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like you said, I don't follow them. But at the end of the day, when you see that shit and it replays back in your head, why would you want that for your being? Like, why would you want that for your being? Why would you not want better?
You have to switch it up. Man, I used to run the motherfucking street so late. As a kid, like, what the fuck? I would beat my kid's ass by even opening the door for past motherfucking curfew. You know, like I said before, I love my parents both. You know what I'm saying? I don't fault them. They both, you know, we done had our talk. And that's what I can be thankful for, that, you know, they apologize to me, actually, you know, and I guess that's where I get that from with my kids, like, because that meant so much.
Being able to apologize,
you know what I mean? Kids have feelings, too. And when you are traumatized at a certain age, do you know your brain stops at that age, developing the right way at that age?
Yep.
Like, so that's where the healing and stuff comes in at. You got to do that. You know what I'm saying? We have to be better parents to our children than our parents was to us.
Yeah. Facts. And, you know, doubling back to what you said on staying out, you know, past curfew, I like to think a lot of that was, it was a lot safer back in the time that we lived in. Yeah, there were people out there that did stupid shit. Our parents, you know, they gave us a little leeway because, shit, where we grew up at, everybody know each other. And, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Somebody going to know something about something. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
right.
But again, I agree with everything that you're saying. And I just feel like at the end of the day, like, you just got to be there more. And I feel like there's something that I want to say, but it's just not coming out now. It's just a touchy situation. But I don't know. I think I was going to say something on the lines of, oh, that's what I was going to say, like when you were speaking of traumatization. I was thinking of just being traumatized as a kid, not even for me. Like, I feel like I grew up with it because, you know, we were raised in the country, not that that changes anything, but, you know, in the country, it's not very many houses. You don't hear much. So when you arguing, yeah. when there's somebody in there fighting, screaming, people don't hear that shit. And so there were many a days that, you know, we had to hide in the closet because my grandpa, he'd get upset or he'd get drunk and he'd go grab a shotgun. And he not getting that bitch for nothing. He going to fire it at home. Or there was many days where, you know, we were at home and my parents were fighting. And then I feel like it was a trait or that I really, you know, not really a trait, but it was a pattern that I caught myself stuck up in, and my child yeah. being traumatized. My kid, she didn't talk till she was 3.5 years old, maybe 4, and a lot of people thought she was mute. They thought, you know, my child had yeah. mental issues, but growing up seeing me and her father fight like that, it put like a hold on my baby's brain, and she didn't yeah. talk, and she would talk to me. Like, I knew she could talk, but it didn't make a difference. People thought I was lying. You know, just trying to make it sound yeah. good. And they were like, you should take her to speech therapy. And I knew what it was. She just wouldn't speak around men. And so, man, when that motherfucker said, stop talking, she just started talking and she wouldn't stop. But it took her years to just speak right. in front of people, eat, whether it was I'm hungry, you know, I'm thirsty. It took her damn near 4 years. So I won't say never stay in a traumatizing situation, you know,
yeah,
but you can separate and still be there for your fucking kid because that's your kid. It's not the mother's responsibility to take on the father's, you know, responsibilities as well. I mean, we do it because we have to, but it's not our responsibility. And that led me to just looking around and just listening to other people because, like I said, I don't really give a fuck about situations like this when it comes to me, you know, just per se, because whether you're there or not, I'm going to do it. Whether you pay child support when you went down there acting crazy and put yourself on child support, you know, I'm going to be there, so it doesn't matter. And that led me to listening around to these clips. And so I want to get into this one. And, again, it's a battle of the sexes when listening to the clips. And so men see it one way, women see it another. And so I want to play the men first, given, you know, the men a voice to speak or a chance to speak first. And they said that this is how this is when you go to court. And so I just want you to be able to find it. And it's called How the Child Support System Treats Men. It's by Long Beach Griffey. And so I just want to play this clip, and I just want to get a little feedback, and then I'm going to read you a few of the comments that were left just to get your opinion.
Okay, Mr. Griffin. So you're disputing a child support case because you believe that the custodial parent is only filing child support to be vindictive.
She is.
Mr. Griffin. Don't talk over me. Do I make myself clear? Speak when you are spoken to.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now. This briefing is absurd. Single mothers do not file child support out of spite or to be vindictive. Are you vindictive, Miss Bethany?
No, I definitely am. Yeah. No, all of this is out of spite, actually. Yeah, yeah. I want him to suffer, like, terribly.
You're so brave. How often do you see your kid, Mr. Griffin?
If she isn't dictating when and when I can't see my son, at least 4 days a week since he's been born.
Deadbeat of the fucking year. Miss Bethany, sweetheart, how often do you have your son?
I don't. Yeah, no, like maybe like, I don't know, once every 4 months. I really have no clue at all. Like, he built my mom sometimes. If you want me to, if you want her to come up here, we could, yeah, family time. It's always great. Her mother distributes crack cocaine, Your Honor.
How many goddamn times do I have to tell your ass? Speak when you are spoken to. That's your fourth warning, bitch.
When was my second?
Keep on.
Is this true? Does your mother sell crack out of her home? Yeah, I buy from her. Cute. Core, getting that money. Well, I'm glad you support black businesses. What do you do for work, you deadbeat bum bitch? Well, if I'm not volunteering...
Oh! Yawn!
What do you do for work, Miss Bethany?
I don't, Mr. Your Honor. You know what I mean? I'm a female, so, you know, I do EDD scamming here and there. You know, I steal once in a while, you know, set niggas up. OnlyFans. But I do what I gotta do.
Oh, fuck. I told myself what I'm gonna do. The things black women have to do to survive. Father set to pay $15,000 a month.
What the fuck?
That's it.
I was taking it easy on your bum ass with $15,000 a month, but since you want to be a smart fuck, you got to pay her $75,000 a week. You can only see your son for one day out of a year. You gotta give up 90% of your belongings, including your place of shelter, your car, half of your bank account, and you have to spend 25 years in federal prison.
Even though that was a skit, that's how a lot of men viewed the court system. And again, that was how the court system treats men. But I wanted to ask, before I read you the comments, do you think that's accurate?
Honestly, it was a bit exaggerated, but at the same time, I get it. I definitely fucking get it. Like, it is some women out there that are just like that in some way. And actually, in the court system, actually grants them, you know, that child support when they really need to be putting the people in their life about their kids. Talking about, you know, it is like that. Sometimes, in some situations, I do agree. I can't say I don't. I'm not even going to lie to you.
All right. And so I was searching the comments, just looking for just some opinions, you know, some other than my own. And Max said, I hate how accurate this is. The only thing that's not real is a woman openly admitting to being vindictive. And then he went back and edited the comments after having, you know, I think over 40 comments attached to his comment. He stated, it has come to my attention that women do not admit to it and still suffer no consequences or ever have to take accountability. The system is broken. Ezekiel said, as a child of divorced parents, let me tell you, this video is almost 100% accurate, laughing my ass off. And then the comments got a little bit deeper. 2M1 said, dad had a stable job, was raising the daughter. Mom was living separately, doing odd jobs, traveling around. Suddenly, mom decided she wanted to be a parent now, an only parent. Going to court, throwing out all the accusations, of course she won, and as a bonus, the dad was banned of any access to the daughter soon after his life. The mother is scot-free, the dad is dead, and the daughter is traumatized for life and will forever hate her mother. Damn. Nick's profile, and this was just 2 days ago, he said, just talked to one of my clients yesterday who got divorced after he found out his wife was having an affair. He makes less than $50K a year. She makes over $200K a year. They have 50-50 joint custody of their child, yet the court ordered him to pay, and him is in all capital letters, to pay half of his income in child support to his wife. You can't make this shit up. The amount of cases like this just silently fly under the radar is sickening. The judge who ordered these sentences to men needs to be publicly shamed and held accountable for each ludicrous decision that they make. And so on this one, the last comment I got was Scattershot JD 98. And so he said, the system is so unfair, the mom, in quotation marks, can literally be, can be a literal meth head with multiple arrests and yet somehow will still gain custody of the child while the dad destroys his body and soul just trying to see his kid. It's fucking tragic. And he called him a meth head. Shit. And I agree to that. And so, again, we got the mails of the situation, and I found a clip of a female's point of view, and it's about 2 minutes and 49 seconds. And so I just want to play this one, and I want to get your, you know, comments on this one. Do you agree or disagree? And then I'm going to read a few comments on this one.
Good morning. Hello. I thought I'd like to take an opportunity to speak on this comment this fellow left. He left this comment on the video where I said that men have an issue with paying child support because they're not sleeping with the woman anymore. And his response is, no, that's your opinion. This is far from facts. See, the real issue is women living off the money meant for the child. Sir, that's a cover-up. It's a logical fallacy. And you guys like to run to what sounds logical to cover up your true feelings and your true motivations for your behavior. So let's go ahead and uncover this logical fallacy to reveal the truth. A woman who is single without children can live in a one-bedroom apartment. As a matter of fact, she can live in a studio apartment. Or she can rent a room with three other strangers, like I did once upon a time, and have lower bills. But once she has a child, she has to upgrade to a two-bedroom apartment. And if you're anything like a real father whose job is supposed to be protecting, you would want your child living in an area that is safe, not with drugs, guns, and violence. And if you care about your children's education, you want them living in an area where there are good schools, which means the property taxes will be higher, therefore the living expenses will be higher. Children need electricity. Children need transportation to and from, which is directly associated with gas costs. And depending on how many children you pump her up with, the type of vehicle that she will need. All of these are child support costs that you are responsible for a percentage of. But you don't want the money, the child support money being spent on any of those things. Why? Because it directly impacts the mother. You don't want child support being spent on things that are directly associated with the child as well as the mother. And why is that? Because you don't want to feel like you're supporting someone that you're no longer sleeping with anymore. So you only want your money being spent on things that only the child can use, which is illogical, sir. So stop trying to sound logical to cover up your true motivations. Your issue with child support is deeply rooted in the fact that you don't want to pay for a lifestyle or anything directly related to a woman that you are not sleeping with anymore. Now go run tell that, because that is facts.
Facts or no?
Facts in a whole bunch of cases. Hear it to this day. Yeah. It don't make no sense. So, and if the daddy do, you know, sell you $50, and the next thing you're going to ask you for is some pussy. Period, point blank. If he is not staying with you, whether he got a woman or not, soon as he come about anything, he's asking for some pussy. Or maybe even before. Some of them bold enough to ask for it before. But yeah, I want to. Yeah. A lot of cases, yeah. It's just like that.
I agree.
But it don't matter. You can tell them, with the whole, they don't want their money going towards nothing that's going to benefit the mama in any type of way, like bills and her car, anything like, whatever that money go to, it's going to benefit the kids, point blank, period. So that should not be an excuse for a man, quit his job because he noticed child support didn't hit him. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
What type of bum are you?
What type of bum?
I totally agree.
And I want to shout out to the person that made the video, and it was a TikTok, and her TikTok is I Am Princella. And shout out to the woman that posted it on YouTube. Her name is Sheila True Love. And again, that's to all the fathers complaining about having to pay child support. And again, she said, here's facts. But it was one comment that really just put shit in perspective for me. And it was Karsha Martin. She said, the energy, the sleepless nights with sick children, medicine, spit in your eyes, unbreakable fevers, private school payments, clothing, shoes, parent-teacher meetings, pickups, deliveries, when she was saying delivering, your kids to school, colic, ear infections, food, cooking, the preparing breakfast, lunch, and dinner, working a full-time job on top of all of that, no amount of child support can match that. I haven't even mentioned the task of bringing up a child to become a successful contributor to society. Many days I wanted to drop off the child in that child support check. I felt it, but my child's mental health and well-being was more important than temporary frustrations and feelings of being overwhelmed, which brings me to becoming the most unselfish and self-sacrificing period in my life. There's no dollar amount that can top these. And one that cracked me up was Trina is speaking. She said, black men swear that $37 a week they pay in child support has women living in the lap of luxury. They also act as that same $37 is keeping them in the poor house. It's the weak shit for me. And one, don't want to go too long, so I'm going to skip past the others. But one was Divine Butte. And this was around 5 months ago, but she stated, my dad and mom split. However, he said he wasn't paying child support because he couldn't see me. Dude, do you know how many nights we went hungry? Shaking my head. That shit fucks with people. Like, you think you're doing this. Women and men think that they're doing this to one-up each other. You're not paying the child support, or you're the one putting the father on child support to get over on the other parent, or just to get one up when you're really hurting that kid. I don't feel like parents think about that shit.
Right. Ruining that kid. And that's more than well know it. You can't tell me that you don't know it and you don't feel it. Being a parent, if you're connected to your children, you always feel, you feel whatever they're going through. You hear it. Even the one time that you do call them back out the damn month. You know what I mean?
My baby daddy don't even call that time. He just so happy to see us at the store and he'd be like, hey, he brought my energy drinks and thought we was cool. Boy, I forgot to unlock my car. Shut the fuck up.
Right. Like,
fathers don't be wanting to do for their kid. Like, ever since we split, like, he bring up a jacket that he brought when my kid was 3. So, I mean.
Oh, my God. Shut up. What about the football stuff?
We do have a caller on the line. So, I am going to bring them on live just to see. you know, if they have anything to say, any comments to input. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. My name is Joe. I took a look at your show.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
I read your marquee. How you doing? And I read your marquee, and I've been listening for a few minutes. So your question is it the mother, the father, or the system? And it's all three. Firstly, people shouldn't get married unless they absolutely know that they're going to stay together for the rest of their lives. And since very, very few people know that, they shouldn't get married. Then that begs the question, then we wouldn't have marriages and we wouldn't have kids. But that would give people the incentive to find a way to actually have a relationship, either in marriage or out of marriage, that would actually work. Something like 53% of all marriages end up in divorce. And when those people get married again, they actually have over a 60% failure rate. People do not learn from their mistakes. So that takes care of the category of the mother and the father. When they have children and they can't afford it, that's also part of that category. You should not have a child unless you know exactly and with complete agreement how you're going to bring up that child. That child is part of your DNA, your loins, your legacy, your family heritage. If you're just going to have children simply because everybody else has children and you want to make sure everybody takes a look at you to say, well, he's very virile and she's very nubile, well, that's the wrong attitude. Apparently, though, in America, we don't know how to have children. We don't know how to bring them up. And now to go on for the third category, the system. You had mentioned a particular situation in which a guy was making $50,000 a year and the woman was making $200,000, but he was still had to pay child support. Now, I find that kind of hard to believe, even though the system is skewed in order to make women the victims and to give them about 40 to 50% of their ex-spouse's money. I think in every state, I may be wrong because I'm not a lawyer, but I think just about every state, whoever is making the most money, if a person applies for divorce and that divorce is in conformity with those divorce laws, whoever makes the most money pays the bulk of the child support. But like I said, I'm not a lawyer, so who knows? But I will give you two stories. Did you hear about the paternity fraud in which there was a guy in jail? He did not have any conjugal visits from his girlfriend. His girlfriend had a baby. He had to pay child support until he had to go through hoops to prove through paternity testing that it wasn't his kid. And the second instance was where a woman goes to the welfare office. She's sitting down in front of the caseworker, and the caseworker asks her, who is the father of the child? So she gets a phone book, breezes through it, comes to a name, points at it in front of the caseworker. They hunt down that guy. And from what I heard, I didn't read this, so I can't verify this. That guy had to pay child support until he jumped through the hoops to prove that he wasn't the father.
That he was not the father, yep.
So, all three are involved. You shouldn't have children unless you know exactly what to do. And the system, it's a good thing we're not in Canada. you guys have heard of Joe Rogan, right?
Yes, sir.
Right, the guy from Fear Factor, the guy, right, the podcast guy, the guy who's got most podcasts in America.
Yep.
Well, when he was on a show about 20 years ago, I forget the name of the show. You guys might remember. The News, something like that. In any case, he wasn't the star of the show. There was another guy there who became his friend who was a star of the show. He was Canadian. What happened was the show ended. He was making like $1 million a year. He got married during that time. Then after the show ended, he got divorced. Now in Canada, now this guy is making maybe, who knows, $100,000 a year now, excuse me, because he's no longer the star of any other shows. But in Canada, they award to the wife the man was making at his prime, not what he was making at the time, at the current time. So here's this guy making like $100,000 a year. I'm making that figure up. But he's no longer making $1 million a year, but he's got to pay alimony, not child support, I'm sorry, alimony to the tune of like, I don't know, $10,000, $30,000 a month, something like that. So, oh boy, whenever I hear complaints about from women about how hard it is to bring up children as a single mother and they get in child support, I just say I don't even want to hear it. So I'm finished. I yield.
I want to say about that, about the man still having to pay even though the baby wasn't his, or, you know, if a man signs a birth certificate and the DNA come back not to be his baby, do you know that man still is going to have to pay child support? I've been through it, and I had the option to take this man whole income tax from that. You know what I mean? How? That wasn't his baby. That wasn't his baby.
I know.
I had the option, you know. You have to have morals when it comes down to it, and they actually give the women that power. You are right.
Awesome. And it's a shame, you know, and you know, it's a concerted effort, in my opinion, from the government and from people beyond the government. You get into politics on this, but I don't think it's a political show. I think right now it's about, you know, the relationships between men and women and their responsibilities and how the system is affecting everybody. But in America, there are powers that be that want America to be divided along every line that they can get.
Yes,
gender lines, sexual lines, racial lines, fat and skinny lines, you know, yeah, all of it.
Gender lines, even.
Yeah. So this is why it's happening. Not because it makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Should a man or a woman pay a child support if they get divorced? Absolutely. But it should be fair, and it should be according to the situation at hand. There isn't a one-size-fits-all. So, but again, I'd like to find out more about that guy who was making $50,000, married the woman who was making, first off, I don't see how a woman who's making $200,000 is going to marry a guy who's making $50,000.
Right.
I want to know who wrote that fairy tale.
Now. Yep.
No. Mm-mm. It's the men that marry down, but then the men get bitten right in the ass when it comes time for divorce. I always ask myself, why is it that rich people who make like $1 million a year or so, celebrities, how they can get married like 3 times? The first time, take 50% of their assets. The second time, 50% of those assets. And you're going to get married a third time?
Yeah.
That's because
men
very easily fall in love.
I agree. And so, Joe, going back to what you said, the clip it was listed on YouTube, and it's how the child support system treats men. And the YouTuber is Long Beach Griffey, but the person that left the comment is Nick's profile, and he just made this comment 2 years ago, but I agree with you as well. I didn't see that, but I felt like it was a little bit exaggerated, but I do feel, you know, like where he's coming from, because most of the time they do rule in the women's favor. And you beat me to it because, like you stated, it's all three. You know, they go hand in hand. But I wanted to see, like, what's your opinion on, you know, the system failing? And when I say system failing, I mean there are fathers that's out there fighting for their children, and, you know, the system, they grant the mother custody and not say that anything happens to the child, but it's just not in the child's best interest to be with the mother. Like, how do you feel one can find that balance? I know you stated knowing who, you know, your partner is, but for the people that have already, we already have children, how do you feel one can find balance in these situations that are going on now?
Well, you put a fly in the ointment when you said those who have children. I have a remedy for those who are going to just about get into relationships. And my remedy is this. You take out a piece of paper and you write down on that piece of paper what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other. You write down on that paper scenarios in which you believe that the other person may not like to fulfill. For example, let's say there's a guy who is in a relationship with his woman for let's say, 6 months. And her car breaks down at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the car is an hour away from the guy, right? Now, most women would call the guy and say, hey, babe, can you come on out here and fix my tire? Now, what about the guy who says, hey, you should call AAA? Now, this is something you should talk about before the situation happens, because something like that can be a deal breaker when it happens. So that's my remedy, because when you find out in advance what is it that you expect from each other and you put down penalties when you go cross those boundaries, well, that helps. So for those who already have children, I don't have an answer. You should have thought about that before you had kids. You know?
Yes. I agree.
That was very, that
that's
was
funny.
Very,
I like that answer.
That's the plan right there. That was all right right there. I would definitely take that advice.
It was.
If I could
it
go
was,
back.
It was broad, but it was real. You know what I'm saying? It was something that one needed to hear, because, like you said, you make these choices, these decisions, and you don't fully know, and it helps to know ahead of time. And Joe, I really do thank you for, you know, coming through and just sharing your opinion, your experiences, just your comment alone. But I wanted to see, you know, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Oh, I can go on all night, but I thought I'd hang out and listen to you talk about, you know, your opinions. But it sounds to me like I'm going to get hung up on. Am I going to get muted? Because I like this show right now.
Oh, no. No. You're not going to get hung up on. No, Joe, we're still here for a few more minutes. We are wrapping up, and we would love for you to stay around, you know, if you got a few more minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh sure.
Call
when it comes
show.
To relationships.
Call every show.
Oh, yeah. I got a few opinions about that.
All
now,
right,
relationships
well,
are very,
I thank you.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Relationships are very important. They are the center of a man and a woman's soul. Without good relationships, we can survive on this planet, but we're not going to be happy. We can be content, but I would bet you most of the men, even if they've won the Super Bowl, they won't equate the winning of the Super Bowl to their first love. We, as men and women, we need each other, but we have to find a way to really fulfill each other. My opinion is that the reason why relationships don't work are two reasons, selfishness, extreme selfishness, and trauma. Selfishness mainly, especially with beautiful women who have been taught that they are special, they're made out of porcelain, don't touch them. They're princesses. They feel entitled. And entitled females are extremely selfish. They believe the world revolves around them. The male equivalent would be like, you know, celebrities and big-time heroes. I mean, big-time sports idols, because they get treated like women. The thing is that we have to know if we find somebody, how can we show them gratitude, appreciation, respect, and love? And can the other person receive it? That's where trauma comes in. Because if we've been abused as children, and I'm not even talking about being sexually abused, just growing up in a household in which the mother and the father should not have been parents, and they treat that kid like a piece of furniture or worse, that kid's going to grow up. You know that saying, hurt people, hurt people.
Hurt people,
we have
yeah.
to stop hurting. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, those are my opinions. And, yeah, I can go on for another hour or so. But I don't think you
well,
have
Well, that I think you brought us, you know, you brought us home with this one.
Well, I like to get down to the bottom line of what relationships work, why they don't work, what we can do to make it work. We have to conquer the trauma that all of us have and learn how to trust. And we have to learn to receive the respect and the appreciation the other person is going to give us. Ironically, if a person gives the wrong person, let's say the man gives the wrong girl who's been traumatized respect and appreciation and gratitude, that may trigger her to reject him. Does that sound okay? So you're familiar with that. All right, cool.
Yes, I definitely am.
Because that's a paradox. Yeah.
That's in general. That's with anybody. You cannot pour, you know, some people don't deserve, you know, that type of love. And you can mess your own life up, your own mentals up, pouring everything you got into a person that doesn't, you know how to accept it or know how to live with it or is just simply not used to it and turns it back around into negative. That beats you up. And that brings karma onto you. Because some people are meant to go through that type of stuff, go through, you know, the ugly parts to get through what the trauma and everything that they did go through beforehand. Sometimes it's meant for things like that to happen.
I've asked people who've suffered from sexual abuse and from trauma. People have gone to psychotherapy, and I've talked to a psychotherapist who was on Blog Talk Radio. And they said, leave them alone. Those people who have severe trauma, leave them alone. One person did say, if you really think that this person could be good for you and she is traumatized, then be a good friend first. And then maybe you might be able to have a good sexual and loving relationship with her. But that's something that I haven't found yet, that answer. How do we go?
You know what?
How do we conquer the trauma of another person? I'd like to find out.
Joe, I want to say you're stepping all on my toes right now.
Oh,
because I was going to say something at the beginning when you stated, you know, those people, like, it's hard for you to appreciate something that you've never had. And so you hit me in the chest with that one. But once you went into speaking of people, you know, that go to therapy and they said to leave these people alone, I feel like you do for a while, because I feel like I was that person and it took a lot. I won't lie. It took like maybe 10 years to really just the trauma, but to deal with it, because once you're going through the trauma, it's really like a pile up. So you're covering it up with drugs, sex, whatever you do. And for me, sex was my drug. And so that was all it was for me. I didn't care about the person. I didn't care what you had going. I wasn't using a person for anything other than sex, but it was like you say, you need to leave those people alone or you need to become a friend first. And I have realized once I find a person that is capable of learning me, because I even surprised myself, because you never know what you're going to do. And that's just me being honest. And so once you find someone that's able to adapt, and I feel like people shouldn't even have to adapt to a person like that, but there's fucked up people in the world, and I just so happen to be one of them. And once you adapt and you learn the ins and outs, you're that friend, it's easier for that person to open up, and not only for them to just release that trauma, but releasing it enough for you don't feel like you're carrying the person's trauma as well, because I never want a person to feel like, hey, we have to walk through this alone together, you know what I'm saying, because I walk it alone.
Right.
I know you're here for me if I need you, but I don't want you to feel the pain that I felt. I don't want you, because I don't even know the pain, because, again, it was masked. I did. It was sex because I wasn't into drugs or anything like that, other than, you know, weed. But it wasn't it wasn't to the point to where I, you know, was just picking up these bad habits. But again, I feel like any habit is a habit, and I masked it. So when I finally, at the age of 27, I sat with it and I dealt with it. It was painful because I never felt it before. I just let it build up, and I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to go have sex. I'll feel better. And, again, that was my drug. And so you stepped all on my toes when you said that, but it was something that I need. And I appreciate you for even calling in, because I was speaking to my co-host, and I didn't get a chance to say it, but you beat me to it. But I wanted to tell her, you know, I wish there was a male on the line just so we can get the male's point of view just all the way around. And you popped up in. So this, it was definitely, you know, a blessing. And the call is not ending, but I want to say I appreciate you for just bringing that out of me, because sometimes we hide behind who we really are. And I feel like I can be, I don't even want to tell you the type of person that I can be, but I know when you say you have to really learn somebody, because, again, I shocked myself.
Yeah.
Well, that means that you're recovering. Because I can understand what you had been going through, because you were using weed and using any other kind of stimulation in order to mask the trauma, which you may not still even know to this day what lies in your subconscious. It is, you were feeling confused as a kid and as a young adult. You were feeling overconfident in certain areas as a child and as an adult. You trusted some people who then betrayed your trust as a kid and as an adult. You know that saying where, and I used to believe in this as well, where, you know, you're telling a new person, don't bring your old baggage into this new relationship with me. Don't bring your old boyfriend, you know, to me. Leave your past in your past. That's very easy to say, but it's extremely hard to do. So did I touch on anything just now when I was saying, as a child and even as a young adult, You were confused about why you felt the way that you did. Why did your parents or even your relatives or best friends at times seem to be very good people, but then at other times acted as though they were very insensitive to what you needed? Because you know why? You know why I can say that? Because that happens to all of us.
Why?
Every single person has gone through that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But everybody
and I was
just
gonna say,
you
did be
reading
me.
Yeah. Yep. I think that the whole goal, you know, of the fact of the matter is bringing a balance without, you know, the system. Because without the system, what is there? We don't have the welfare, we don't have the child support. So like you said, know who you're laying with, you know what I mean? And for the ones that, you know, it's too late for that, we have to figure it out together. Simple as that.
We should, but people don't because of the trauma. They're afraid of getting too close. They're afraid of opening up. They're afraid of being vulnerable. And they're afraid of finding the right person. Because what happens when they find the right person and they themselves are not the right person? They're afraid that that right person that they have found will someday realize that the person who, you know, is not the right person will wake up and say, what the hell am I doing with him or her, and leave them. So
it happens,
we have
people.
To figure out how to. You know what? I like to come back to your shop. Presume you have a show next week or once a week. I like to come back next week and, you know, talk about whatever topic you have then. But maybe one of these days you'll be able to talk about what can we do, at least theoretically, to try to conquer the trauma. And I'd like to be on that show because, as far as I know, nobody in this world has an answer. No psychotherapist, no psychiatrist, no psychologist. So it'd be an interesting topic.
And we would love to have you
and
back,
you know
Mr.
What,
Joe. Yeah, we're coming back Tuesday, and, you know, speaking on that, we're speaking on, you know, the journey to healing. And so that would be, you know, an amazing subject to put in with that, because in order to heal, you do have to get over the traumatizing, you know, parts in your life, you know, or whatever you went through. So most definitely would love to have you back Tuesday if you could join us. And again, I appreciate
what
you
time?
For joining us tonight. T, what time do you want to come back? We usually do 4, but it's totally up to my co-host.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's my off day. That's my only off day after, you know, working 6 days. So I'm probably going to sleep till about at least 1. So 4 o'clock is it with me if it's with you. Okay. Then, Mr. Joe,
would you be able to make it at 4?
Tuesday, is that 4 o'clock Eastern time? I always go by Eastern time because Block Talk Radio
Central
always goes
Standard
by
time.
Eastern time.
Yeah, we're
Central
Central
times. That would be, that would be 3 o'clock. If it's 4 o'clock Central Time, it'd be 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Okay. 5 Tuesday. Okay, and it's still Vibrate Higher? That would
yes,
be the name
sir.
Of the show?
Yes, sir. Every time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And, yeah, you would have a different title, but Vibrate Higher? Okay. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, or...
Yeah, I'd like to be
or
back.
Or if you would like... Joe, you could give us a call. We do have a number you could call in as a guest, and the number is
563-999-3683. Okay, and I think that's probably, yeah, that's the number I'm in on now.
Yes, sir.
All right, yeah.
All right, that sounds good. All right, because like I said, relationships are very important. Without them, we can function, we can be content, but with somebody, my God, doesn't the world just shine just that much brighter?
Got it.
All right, Mr. Joe, we appreciate you for calling. We'll see you on Tuesday for sure, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and it looks like he might have just dropped off the line. So I do apologize, Mr. Joe. I don't know what happened, but I most definitely appreciate him for calling in. Know that we didn't hang up on you, and you're more than welcome to join us live anytime. And I know, T, we ran over time a little bit, but I wanted to see before we close out, did you have any, you know, anything you want to say?
No, this was good. That was great. I'm really thankful and grateful for Mr. Joe for calling in and speaking with us. And hey, I did not mind that at all. That was a good insight, you know, coming from. I didn't think he was going to say what he said, but yeah, we got to get it out. We got to find the balance, like you said. We have to find the balance.
And I do apologize. You know, I know we kind of cut it short and we didn't get to follow all the way through, but it was funny because as we were speaking, you know, I'm watching the board, just watching the switchboard, just so if something like this happened in real shit, like I was going to tell you, I wish we had a male on here so we could just get him to voice, you know, speak for the male race.
Right.
And he popped up as soon as I was going to tell you that. And then he raised his hand because he wanted to speak as we were speaking. That's why I joined him. And,
yeah,
bro, I'm just so grateful for that. And it was raw, but it was real. I appreciate him saying what he said
right.
to warn people. And then I appreciate him what he said when he said for the people. Kind of like it's too late, but, you know, we've been thugging that shit out, so it's nothing new to us.
Right.
And at the end of the day,
right.
I still appreciate him, and we will be back Tuesday, which is the 6th. If you want to go later, we can, but as it stands, we will be back at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Vibrate Higher. It was definitely a blessing and a pleasure to go live to have Mr. Joe on and my beautiful co-host. But again, we're over time, beautiful people. That is it for the rest of the night, and we'll see you back Tuesday.
Yes, thank you guys for listening. Come back with and chill with us.
See, I'm a wanted